Yesterday, one of our students, Mr. Claude Wells, underwent surgery at the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. The reports we have had to this time indicate that the surgery was successful insofar as it went, that the outlook at this point is good. We want to remember him and his family in our prayers today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we reflect upon the tragedy, the mission, and the destiny of thy children, we think of what thou hast done for us and of what thou art seeking to do through us in this generation. We ask forgiveness for the poverty of our insight and the waywardness of our ways, and humbly pray for our deliverance from an inordinate concern for our self-glorification. And we pray for a renewal of commitment to thee and to thy people. Mercifully grant unto us competence of mind and of hand to express the intelligent concern for thy children which thou hast planted in our hearts. We remember in thy presence Claude Wells and all who are concerned for his well-being, including his family, his physicians, and his friends on this campus. We commit to thy care those who are engaged upon difficult tasks this day, near and far. Guide and sustain them in every worthy aspiration and in every right action. Be with us in this hour of worship and in the duties to which we devote our energies. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us unite in singing hymn number 286. Let us read responsively selection number 57. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. In these moments, I should like to draw attention to three ideas involved in the subject resources for leaders, and I am using leaders in the term of servants of God. If perchance we should run a few minutes past 10:30, I crave your indulgence. In the first place, you and I compose our minds and do our work at a difficult time in the history of the United States and in the history of the people of God. The perils and possibilities confronting us are stated with clarity and friendly candor by Stephen K. Bailey, Dean of the Graduate School of Public Affairs at Syracuse University. He writes, "Beneath the seas and southern silos in South Dakota and Siberia, ballistic missiles are poised in profusion. Accident and tempers can turn them on and turn the world off. Only man's reason and informed understanding can keep the lid of hell in place. We must actively fight what has been called the death instinct of our time. American colleges and schools are central in this struggle. For unless they can improve our understanding of other nations and peoples, and our ability to deal with the crises and problems thrust upon us, the world will not soon emerge from the dark night of mistrust and violence which now engulfs it and which threatens it with universal devastation." This is not a pleasant time in which to live and work. It is important, some of us think, not only to improve our understanding of other nations and peoples, but to improve also our compassion for other nations and peoples, and to enlarge our appreciation of persons and of people. It is certainly essential for us to cultivate the ability to deal with the crises and problems thrust upon us. For indeed, the world has been thrust into a dark night of mistrust and violence. It is far from easy for theological students and academic administrators and even professors to maintain objectivity and courage in such a time as this. I bring into our thinking, however, a second idea. There is a spiritual leadership in history. It is what Toynbee calls a creative minority. It is composed of intelligent, courageous, and dedicated persons who, by the grace of God and by fellowship with people who have interpersonal competence, have learned to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. At the center of this spiritual leadership is Jesus Christ, the Son of the God. This phrase, some of you know, appears in 2 Corinthians. The Son of the God, whose birth, growth, ministry, death, and resurrection are set forth by men of faith in the primary documents of the Christian faith. His ministry gave men what Whitehead has called the habitual vision of greatness. But, in fact, the path he trod was a rough road. He endured the loneliness of the pioneer, the sting of unjust criticism, the betrayal of trust, the humiliation of rejection, and apparent failure. But he was not defeated. At the cross where he died, we see the suffering involved in the human tragedy. As vividly as we see the suffering involved in South Asia today, or in Wake Forest, or in any village or city of this nation. But this is not all we see at the cross. Related to the suffering involved in the human tragedy, we see the redemptive love of God in its full splendor. I have seen the love of God in your faces. I have seen the love of God in many faces. But the place where we see the love of God in its full splendor is at the cross. In addition to suffering and love, we see at the cross a decisive victory. This leader at the center of the spiritual life had confidence in the power of truth, and this confidence did not fail. He had love of persons, and this love did not disappear. He had devotion to the Father's will, and this devotion was not diluted. He conquered death and is alive forevermore. He is the interpreter of life, who gives new evidence for old errors and new errors for old evidence. And those who follow him do not have to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There is a spiritual leadership in history. A third idea. You and I have an opportunity to participate in the processes of growth in Christian maturity in a community of learning. In this school, qualified students for Christian ministry have access to the minds of competent and devout teachers. There are some of us who have given up most of our freedom. Not all of it, but a large part of it, in order that teachers and students may have freedom to participate in the processes of growth in Christian maturity on this campus. In this connection, I think all of us are interested in some recent events. Most of these events are already well known to the faculty, and I assume to most of the students, because they have appeared in the press. In the annual meeting of the Board of Trustees on this campus several days ago, some decisions were made. Four excellent professors were granted leave of absence for the next academic year. A tenure was conferred upon one of our professors. And this is one of the most meaningful events that can take place in a true community of learning: the election of one professor to the faculty by the executive committee was confirmed. I call attention to two other actions taken by the Board of Trustees. And these actions are not unrelated. In the first place, the trustees committed themselves to the broad outlines of a study which needs to be made at this point in the history of this school. This study will require some time and energy and intelligence and devotion. The study is not unrelated to a study which has just been completed. A study of distribution of cooperative program funds for seminaries of the Southern Baptist Convention. This study was inaugurated a little more than a year ago. Its original scope was confined to a reexamination of the formula by which the total allocation for seminaries in the Southern Baptist Convention is distributed to six seminaries. It became clear that there could be no adequate study of the formula without examination of the allocation. A formula does not make money, it distributes money. And a formula cannot divide adequately and equitably an inadequate and an inequitable allocation of funds. This study, which has, as I say, just been completed, has been presented in its main features to the faculty and trustees of this school and to the program committee of the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm glad to say it has been presented to the executive committee as a whole. This study indicates that although Southern Baptists are allocating year by year more money for theological education than the other major denominations of the United States, the expenditure per student in Southern Baptist theological seminaries is lower than the average expenditure per student in the theological schools of this nation. And some way must be found to bridge the gap. It was the recommendation of the specialists who made this study in cooperation with the schools that we move in the direction of long-range planning of academic programs directly related to the purpose and the measurable objectives of each institution, in order that there may be sensible and understandable evaluation of costs involved, and that requests can be made of the Executive Committee and of the Southern Baptist Convention for increased funds on the basis of educational programs and what they cost and will cost in the years ahead. It was recognized also in this study that it will require 3 or 4 years to do the kind of study and long-range planning essential to place the financing of these schools in terms of their educational purpose and programs on a really sound basis. For the interim, the men who made the study recommended what they called an interim formula. But the executive committee did not appropriate enough money to fund this interim formula for 1969. Adequate and equitable funding of this formula will require at the present time, would require, about $6,125,000 per year. But the executive committee did move its appropriation in the form of a recommendation to the executive committee, to the Southern Baptist Convention, for 1969, from $4,403,000, which was the allocation appropriated by the Southern Baptist Convention for the six seminaries for 1968, to $5,103,000 for 1969. And in the second place, the executive committee did continue and enlarge its own committee on formula, which probably means that the results of this study will not be lost. The Southern Baptist Convention, as you probably know, operates on a fiscal year, which is the calendar year. The seminaries operate on a fiscal year which begins on August 1 and goes through July 31. And the allocations for operating expenses have to be translated from the fiscal year of the convention to the fiscal year of the schools. The actions taken by the executive committee in Nashville the week after the meeting of our board of trustees clearly indicates that there is a growing awareness on the part of those men of the importance of theological education in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I think it also clearly indicates the confidence of those men in this school. There has been discussion for months of whether or not there should be another capital needs program for the five-year period beginning January 1. Of 1969. Much study was done. A study not only of data on paper, but studies that involved visitation to each of the six schools, including this school. We said throughout that entire period of discussion that we wanted funds for capital needs subordinated to funds for operating expense, because we honestly thought that what goes on in buildings is vastly more important than buildings. And we were more concerned about faculty salaries and salaries of non-academic personnel than we were with expansion of physical facilities, although these are not to be despised. During the next five-year period, this school, if the recommendation is approved by the Southern Baptist Convention, will receive $710,000 for capital needs, $650,000 for enlargement and qualitative improvement of the library, and $60,000 toward the construction of additional units of duplex housing for students and their families. The request we filed was the lowest request filed by any Southern Baptist seminary. The allocation to be recommended to the executive, by the executive committee to the Southern Baptist Convention, is next to the highest recommended for any seminary in our denomination. And within a few days, the student center will be completed. And as soon as the date formal acceptance of the building by responsible persons can be determined, a date for dedication of this building will be set. We earnestly hope that this new student center building will contribute to the intellectual and spiritual growth of the students and their friends on this campus. A library is close to the heart of a theological seminary, and it is anticipated that the enlargement of the library building, along with the nurture and enlargement of the staff of the library, will make available to students and faculty a good center of study on this campus. I indicated the total amount of the allocation to be presented to the Southern Baptist Convention by the Executive Committee for operating budgets for the six seminaries for 1969. I think it would be appropriate to add that the part of that total allocation to come to this school is $693,000. This is a moderate increase of allocation to this school. And it will make possible a further improvement of the salary structure of this school. One of the actions taken by the Board of Trustees upon recommendation of the administration is that the entire salary structure of this school be reviewed prior to the beginning of the next fiscal year on August 1. Since July 31, 1964, the faculty salaries of this school have been elevated four times, and each increase has been larger than the preceding increase. This is due to the fact that the trustees who make the decision firmly believe, as the administration believes, that whatever money is available should be put where the men are and not in some elevated scales where only one or two or three men may reside. Whatever money becomes available will continue, I trust, to be put where the people are. The faculty who carry the heavy burden of academic affairs in this institution and the non-academic staff who contribute in a most significant way to the support of the faculty and the students in their total work on this campus. Now, the study which we are to make, related to the study which has already been made, is really a difficult task. Certainly, in principle, the faculty is committed to this study, and as I have already pointed out, by formal vote, the trustees are committed to this study. And if we are going to set our faces to the future with the knowledge of the rising cost of higher education, including theological education, it is imperative for us to design educational programs that will meet the need of students for the tasks they are to perform in the years ahead. And these educational programs cost money. And it is a part of our stewardship to know how much money they will cost and what the sources of this money are and how the money may be honorably achieved. And so we are wasting no time in long-range planning, not only of the physical facilities of a beautiful campus, including this chapel, but also with respect to every major aspect of the life of this school. It is a study of the achievements, and we are not ashamed of these achievements. And those who have gone before us have no reason to be ashamed of these achievements. It is a study of the achievements and the opportunities of this seminary, with emphasis upon opportunities. The study should include examination of the purpose and measurable objectives of the school, analysis and evaluation of the instructional staff based upon carefully defined criteria, consideration of the scope, depth, and unity of the curriculum in relation to the resources of the school and the needs of the students, attention to the quality and effectiveness of instruction, exploration of functional relationships with other seminaries within the Southern Baptist Convention and with colleges and universities in this area, appraisal of the library's resources and services in relation to instructional and research programs of students and faculty, review of types and effectiveness of student services, including orientation, counseling and guidance, medical care, housing and food services, loan and aid program, and field education. Identification of administrative organization and processes in relation to student affairs, academic affairs, financial affairs, and public relations. Reflection upon sources, adequacy, and use of financial resources, and survey of the campus and physical facilities, including campus design, general condition of buildings, classrooms, recreational equipment, parking areas, and insurance coverage. That's just one paragraph. But it will bring under careful scrutiny every dimension of life in what was already a good school and what has an opportunity to become a great school in theological education in the last part of the 20th century. May I repeat, even though the time is long since gone, the third idea. We have an opportunity to participate in the processes of growth in Christian maturity in a community of learning. In this school, qualified students for Christian ministry have access to the minds of competent and devout teachers. Students and teachers have access to a large and growing body of knowledge in the library. All of us are invited to worship God in a beautiful chapel or under a magnolia tree and to participate in the needful work of the world. And all of these, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had foreseen something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Open our eyes, O God, that we may see the tragedy in our world, and not be overcome by it. Teach us by thy Spirit how to overcome evil with good through Jesus Christ our Lord.